Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Okay. Stay. Satan wanna see me in the fire like toast. God got me through the smoke, almost ever close. Satan wanna see every piece of me die from that blow, almost ever close. Satan wanna see you who to lose all hope. But as long as I live, I'ma keep y'all close, close, close. Born at home, no doctors to deliver me. Only you, y'all. Save me from my misery. Coming out the womb with a little more space. Fell in the tub, could've drowned that day. Pull me out of that water. My mama in pain, I see you smile on your daughter. The sun shines bright as it rose from the east. In the heavens there was praise, and hell they were sleep. Bring new light to conquer and destroy everything you like. Let me fast forward. I'm outpoured when I see my mother lay. Remember that day, I could still see the scar to the left right on my face. And then her eyes opened, I knew that there was hope. And the paramedic took her on a stretcher. That was Satan wanna see me buried deep down below. Y'all saved me from those shots, almost that was close. Satan wanna see me in the fire like through the smoke, almost that was close. Satan wanna see every piece of me grow. Could have died from that blow, almost that was close. Satan wanna see you who to lose all hope. But as long as I live, I'ma keep y'all close, close. I got a little older, I was only like 9. Satan tried to get me before it's my time. Had it in his mind, this will be my last night. Every kind of day, great skies, no light. Had a good night kiss right before I went to sleep. Couldn't breathe, couldn't see. A fire in the house full of thick black smoke. Got dressed, I ain't know which way to go. God could have bounded me, had to climb down. 3 stories high, seen far from the ground. Me and 2 brothers all went down safely. Come on, scared to escape me. Fire, heat, and smoke. I still hear his cry coming out of his mouth. And even though we lost everything in the smoke, we didn't lose our lives. Praise Yah, that was Satan. Want to see me buried deep down below. Yah saved me from those shots, almost that was close. Satan want to see me in the fire like toast. Yah got me through the smoke, almost that was close. Satan want to see buried peace of me grow. Could have died from that blow, almost that was close. Satan want to see you who to lose all hope. But as long as I live, I'll keep Yah. Close, 13 years old. Even though I couldn't breathe, I heard y'all say relax. I guess in those days I had too much fun. I shouldn't never smoke like I did then. Y'all kept me alive. The devil lost patience. He wish I would have died from my own. The Father had mercy. I was that dumb. I sometimes tried again a little. 23, I remember that night, drunk as a skunk, even higher than a kite. Standing outside in a deep conversation, a man ran up, pulled his gun and started blazing. I thought I got hit as I fell to the ground. He is still, hear the sound. And when I got up, everything seemed slow. I realized I wouldn't hit. Praise shot. Satan wanna see me very deep down. Satan wanna see every piece of me grow. Could have died from that blow, almost that was close. Satan wanna see you who to lose all hope. But as long as I live, I'ma keep y'all close, close, close.
Shalom, shalom, family. Welcome again to another episode of Israel Now Radio Show. This is your host, Yahshua. Coming back again, just want to, first and foremost, give all praise and honor to the Most High, Yahweh, because without the Most High, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't have been able to wake up this morning. We didn't wake ourselves up, so we have to always give praise and honor to the Most High for having life and the opportunity for eternal life, which is the gift that He had promised to the righteous, if we will keep His commandments and do what we're supposed to do. So that's what it's about. First and foremost, we want to achieve salvation for ourselves and for our loved ones and for everybody that will receive this truth. So We just come here week after week presenting this truth that the Almighty has put within us, put within our spirit, as far as myself and all the other brothers, you know, across the world that's teaching the Almighty truth as far as the commandments and the true Messiah. That's the main thing. That's the thing that brings us all together, you know. So, again, just want to say shalom to the listening audience. Also, join us if you're in the Cincinnati, Ohio area every Sabbath day, 270 Northland Boulevard, Suite 105, Cincinnati, Ohio, starting at 2 p.m. every Sabbath day. And we also, of course, meet on all the Almighty's appointed times, all the holy days that he has commanded for the children of Israel to have a holy convocation, which means to gather together. Our brothers down there in Fort Worth, Texas, also have a location down there as well where the brothers meet at 11 a.m. at 2700 Village Creek in Fort Worth, Texas. And soon I'm going to get some more addresses to maybe some other cities of some brothers where their places of worship are that's affiliated with us. Sometimes we may not all go by the same name, but it's where you could get the good word at, because the Almighty called us as a nation of people, the children of Israel. So we don't have to be focused on all these Israelite denominations that people has made up. We could come together with our brothers and sisters, whether they go by the name of Israel now or not, whether they go by the house of Yah, which is some of our brothers, or whatever congregational name they may have. We all Israel, we all brothers and sisters in the eyes of the Most High. We all in the body of Christ, and that's how it's supposed to be. Not all of this separation according to name. All right. So with that being said, just want to also encourage everybody to keep praying for each other. Always pray for us and our people, our safety, our well-being of our children and everything else. We definitely need that more. We need to cover it and to cover each other at all times, especially those that's like on the front lines and different things like that. So we want to get into talking about the word of the Most High today. The topic I want to talk about today is Passover, because the Passover feast is coming up soon in about 2 weeks. So just kind of want to discuss a little bit of it, and we're just going to just get right into it. As always, if anybody has any questions or comments, push number one. I'll see your hand up. I'll get you right on. And I actually don't even mind if I don't finish the lesson to get you on. If you want to come on at any time, that's fine with me today. All right, so I'm going to start this thing off in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Let's get some understanding of what the scriptures are trying to tell us. Matthew 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then came to Yahawashah, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition?" So the Messiah is telling the people, look, why are you transgressing the commandment of the Most High by your tradition? And this goes out to everyone that's listening, everyone that will archive this lesson in the future and things like that. You could take this lesson and give it to whoever you think will need it, you know, wherever a person is open to truth. But that's something that we all have to think about. What the Messiah said to these Pharisees and Sadducees, why do you transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition? So we have to think about our traditions and the traditions that we were given in this land that we grew up with, that a lot of our people never thought twice about. They automatically assumed that these traditions were right for the simple fact that the person before them did it. Maybe they grew up that way and their parents taught them, their mother or their father and things like that. But they never thought about, could these traditions be transgression, the commandment of the Most High, you know? And first and foremost, we're coming up on what? This new year, we're coming up on this spring season, and we know what all comes with that. A lot of religious holidays come up during this time. The righteous will be keeping what? the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? But the other people who do not follow the commands of the Most High will be keeping what? Their own tradition, right? Because during this season, the Almighty gave us a commandment of what to keep during this season. And during this season that's coming up, we were commanded to keep the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We will also have a new moon during this time, which will start, what, the new year, all right? So as I always say, and as I said in the past, look no farther than your church's calendar of events to know if they're teaching you the truth or if they're teaching you paganism. All right. If you walk into any church, most of these churches have a calendar of events, whether they have it in a paper form, it's on the calendar. It's going to tell you all the dates that they're going to meet throughout the whole year. They'll have whatever Wednesday night Bible study, whatever they choose for that. They'll have every Sunday at whatever time, every, you know, then they'll have whatever else they have going on, Christmas, Easter, and all these different things down the line. And if you check that calendar of events and you ask the pastor, the elder in that church or whatever, or do your own independent study, you know, or come to one of us or call in on this radio show and push number one and ask the question, where are these days on my church's calendar of events found in the Bible? And if you can't find any of these days on your church's calendar of events, they're not teaching you the word of the Most High. They're teaching you tradition and paganism, right? So what we do is everything that we do, everything that we teach, everything that we believe, we can read it in the scriptures, you know? So that's where it comes down to. So we have to examine ourselves with this verse. Are we transgressing the Most High's commandment by our tradition? No, because when you're keeping Passover, we can go to the commandments and show where the Almighty told us to keep Passover. But when you're keeping Easter and you can't go to the commandments where the Almighty told you to keep Easter, then you're doing exactly what Christ said not to do. Do not transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition. Because as we know, Easter is a pagan holiday about a pagan fertility goddess, which is totally against the word of the Most High. That's called idolatry. All right. Idolatry is the worship and the serving and the bow down and show respect and honor and obedience to another deity. All right. And as the Almighty always says, you're serving gods that do not see, that have eyes that don't see, they have ears that don't hear, and mouths that do not speak. Why? Because these things were out of man's imagination, and these things were carved in stone and different things like that, and made with wood and different things like that. So with that being said, let me go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start to talk about this holy feast coming up called the Passover. And what's ironic about this feast is that our people, the children of Israel, and when I say the children of Israel, I'm just going to deal with this country right now, and I'm not going to deal with all the children of Israel scattered to the four corners of the earth. Most of them. So I'm going to deal with this country in America. When I say the children of Israel, I'm talking about the so-called African Americans. I'm talking about these black people in America that are going to churches every Sunday, or whether they're going to the Muslim mosque or whatever religion they're in. If they're not in the commandments of the Most High and with the belief in the Messiah, then they're not in the religion of our forefathers, which was laid down from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and laid down for Moses all the way up and all the righteous prophets. The Almighty never gave us a religion called Christianity, Methodist, Baptist, none of these things you know today. There's nowhere in these scriptures. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to chapter 15. I'm going to go to chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. All right, so let me back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. It says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And of course, when we keep the feast every week, we keep it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But if we deal with this first part, it says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, for ye may that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And based on the latter part of that verse is why I want to speak pretty much the rest of this lesson. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's a very important verse. And that's a verse that a lot of our people miss, even some of our people that acknowledge the New Testament scriptures. They still miss what our brother Paul is telling us right here when he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So therefore, yes, it's okay to eat lamb on Passover, but that lamb that you're eating is not the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, he is our Passover that was sacrificed for us. And throughout this lesson, I'm going to show you what that means. So even if you get a lamb, a real lamb, and you kill it on the 14th day of the first month, and all that is not the Passover lamb. The Almighty is not interested in sacrificial offerings in these days. The book of Hebrews told us very, very clearly that his body was much better than the blood of bulls and goats, and he had to be sacrificed one time, only one time. He didn't have to come in year after year and continue to die, dying, because his blood was much more worthy than that. All right, so let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, and this is where the Passover happened, the original Passover night. Let's just look at a few things in here. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 down to 14. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now that's first and foremost. At the month that we keep Passover in is the first month of the year unto us. All right, verse 3. Speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall ye burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the Elohim of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am Yahweh. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now that's verses 1 through 14 of Exodus chapter 12. Now I know what I want to do is make some sense of this. I want to make some sense of this spiritually, because many of the things that we read throughout these verses are what we know as a past truth. And why do I say that, a past truth? Because a lot of these things you only had to do if you were living on that Passover night back then, when the Almighty was going to pass over our houses in the land of Egypt. You only had to do a lot of these things that particular night. What do I mean by that? Putting blood on your doorposts. That's not something that we have to do today. What we're doing today is what we read in verse 14. Let me read it again. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. We're keeping the memorial of the Passover, right? That's what we're doing now. So putting blood on our doorposts, that's not a requirement today. That was a past truth. That was only a requirement for the very first Passover. Eating the food in haste, that's not a requirement today. You don't have to rush and eat it. Why? They had to rush and eat it then because they had to hurry up. They was going to get ready and go. That's why the bread didn't get a chance to rise and things like that. Sleeping with your shoes on your feet, that's a past truth. They about to get ready to leave Egypt. They have to be ready to go when the word comes. Sleep with your staff in your hand and these different things. And I'm saying this because I know that there are different teachings out there that teaches that right now today in 2018, you have to sleep with a staff in your hand. You have to sleep with your shoes on your feet. And you have to hurry up and eat the Passover meal really, really fast. All right. But what you will find throughout a preponderance of scriptures, these things are not mentioned anymore after the 12th chapter. When we read about Yahweh Shah and the disciples keeping the Passover and things like that, we don't read about them eating it in haste, and we don't read about them doing certain things like that. Again, that was for that night. Let's put things in context, but let's put it in a spiritual context. Let me go to verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." So the lamb shall be without blemish. What does that mean? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, because what we want to do tonight is make spiritual sense of these things that the Almighty gave us physically. You know, the natural and the spirit works together. It works hand in hand. So Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 28. It says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Right? So it says he shall appear the second time unto sin, or the second time without sin unto salvation. So why do these two verses go together? Because the verse in Exodus 12 talked about that lamb was supposed to be without blemish, meaning nothing can be wrong with the lamb. And spiritually, that was pointing towards the Messiah. Why? Because it says here that he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So what is that meaning is that the unblemished lamb was representing the Messiah being unblemished. Unblemished meaning he kept the law perfectly, meaning he did not have sin on him. That's why his body was worthy to be a sacrifice to die for the whole entire world. Why? Because he was sinless, right? That's why he was worthy to be the sacrifice. So it says again in this verse 28, so Christ was once offered. He didn't have to continually be offered. Once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, we looking for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's what that's talking about. That's where the unblemished lamb comes in at. And ironically, since I'm already at this verse, notice it says that he shall appear the second time, because he only came one time before. He came one time 2,000 years ago, and when he comes in the future, that's going to be the second time. It's not going to be the fifth time or the sixth time or the seventh or the eighth time. So that verse in and of itself also destroys another teaching out there to say that all these people were Christ in the past, from King Solomon to Jacob and his reincarnation, and he keep coming back and back and back. No, he's going to come the second time. That means he only came one time before, if we know how to count, right? So let's go back to Exodus 12. And we left off at verse number 5. I'm going to pick up at verse number 6 of Exodus 12. Exodus 12 and 6 says, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." All right, so the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening when you keep it up to the 14th day of the first month. Right? So let's go to Matthew 26 now. Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of Matthew 26. Look what it says. Matthew 26 and 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Yahushua had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." So, in 2 days, he's going to be crucified. He's going to be betrayed. And what is going to be in 2 days? On the Passover. So, the Messiah died on the Passover, on that Passover. Why? Because he was that Passover lamb. So now, just reverting back to that 1 Corinthians, when we read that Paul said, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Remember that? And this is what he was talking about. This is how Paul knew, because he understood that who the real Passover was. The lamb was temporary. It was a temporary covering until the real covering comes. Right? That's all that was about. It was just a temporary cover. All right? So let's go back to Exodus 12, and I'm going to pick up at verse 7. And I want to say this as well, because I know that a lot of teaching is saying as well, is that, no, you can only celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. You can't celebrate it in any other land. And it's a couple of things to deal with that, but I'm only dealing with this part right now. As far as the sacrifice, because they read that to sacrifice the Passover in Jerusalem, right? But do you not realize that Christ died in Jerusalem? Our Passover was already sacrificed for us 2,000 years ago, right? So that's what they're talking about, all right? Everything has a spiritual connection to it. So back to Exodus 12. And I'm going to pick up at verse number, what did I leave out? I'm going to pick up at verse 7. Exodus 12 and 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So, of course, we put the blood on the doorpost, and when the Almighty seen the blood, he will pass over that house to where the firstborn did not have to die in that household. Why? Because the blood covered them, because they seen the blood. If we don't see the spiritual connection to the Messiah's blood in this, you know. But for those that are not familiar, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. We can go all through the book with this, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 14 of Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ?" So y'all get that? If those blood of those animals could cover you for sin, how much more than the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot unto Elohim, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. So of course, that's what that's talking about. The blood of the Messiah was worthy enough to cover all of our sins. And, of course, we understand how our Christian brothers and sisters who are really Israelites, unknowingly, they perceive these things to mean that he gave them a license to sin. He didn't give you a license to sin. The Messiah didn't die and shed his blood so you can go and commit adultery and you could be a liar and a thief and a stealer. No, that's totally against the word of the Almighty. The Messiah shed his blood for you to keep the commandments. And for the times where you fall short, you have a covering. You have a redemption where you can now have an opportunity to make things right again and be in right standing and be justified with the Almighty again. All right. And this is a total different doctrine. This whole teaching to come about to say he died so I can not keep the commandments. He died so I can sin. It doesn't make any sense. But yet and still, they will pick out certain commandments that they'll say you have to keep, starting with tithes. If the law is done away with, it's all done away with. You can't just pick out tithes and say you got to keep that. And then anything that goes with the American law, they'll say, well, you can't steal and you can't maybe, you can't like hate people. You still got to love your brother, but you don't have to keep none of his dietary law, none of his holy days, and none of the cleanliness laws and all these other things. You don't have to wear fringes. That's called you're picking and choosing, you know. So what we do, we keep the whole law to the best of our ability, but we look at the context and we also understand that some laws just don't fit the context of society today. You know, some laws you never have to worry about because you wouldn't do anyway because that's not the culture that we're living in today. It's a law where the Almighty told us don't boil a baby goat in his own mother's milk. That's not a law that we have to worry about today. We don't have our own farms and doing these different things anyway, most of us anyway. Most of us people live in the city, so a lot of laws are related to our own land. A lot of laws were related to when the priests were up and running. We had our own governmental system going on and things like that. But definitely, like the Messiah said, all of the laws hangs on loving the Most High with all your heart and loving your brother as yourselves. Because a lot of our laws also talks about how we deal one towards another and how we relate to one towards another and how we truly look out for each other like brothers and sisters should, you know. And if you can do that, the rest of the laws become easy, you know. It becomes very easy when you have that. But let's go back. Exodus 12. I'm going to pick up at verse 10 this time. Exodus chapter 12. Verse number 10, and let's see, just going kind of back and forth from Exodus to the New Testament scripture, or shall I just say from Exodus to maybe one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just trying to put these scriptures together. So Exodus 12 and 10 says, "And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire." So, again, it's talking about the lamb again, that Passover lamb. And the Almighty let us know none of that lamb shall remain until the morning. So what is that talking about? All right. What's the spiritual significance in dealing with that? Well, of course, when we go back to the scriptures and we go to the book of Matthew around the 27th chapter, the 57th verse, it talks about how they took the Messiah's body off of the tree because his body wasn't supposed to remain all night until the morning, right? Because that's in our law. And where do we find that in our law? In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 through 23, we will find that scripture written, all right? So his body wasn't supposed to remain all night until the morning, all right? That's a curse when your body is remaining all night until the morning. Now let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So the Almighty let us know when we see the blood, he's going to pass over us. All right, over our houses, and the plague will not be upon us. Let's go to Matthew 26 now. And I'm going to read verse number 17. Matthew 26 and 17. It says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it." All right. Wait a minute. Let me go to 17. Matthew 26 and 17. I was actually reading the wrong verse. Matthew 26 and 17 says, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yahushua, saying unto him, wherewith thou that we prepare to eat the Passover?" All right. So they're eating the Passover. Now let's go to the 26th verse. All right. And on the 26th verse through the 28th verse, it says, "And as they were eating, Yahushua took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So, of course, he told them there, this represents my blood that is shed for many for the remission of sins, right? Not so you don't have to keep the law anymore, but for the remission of sins or for the forgiveness of sins. There can be no remission of sins if there wasn't a law. Remission of sins means the law still stands, but when the times that you make a mistake and you break the law, then instead of going to get a bull to sacrifice or a goat to sacrifice, his blood was sufficient for that sacrifice and covering, right? So think about this. He clearly said, his blood is shed for what? The remission of sins. There is no remission of sins where there is no law, right? Because there will be no wrongdoing, all right? So just another thing to kind of to think about when we're talking about this. But let's just go to Messiah's own words in case there's any confusion with any of our listening audience that may be Christians or anything like that. Let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 17 through 19. I'm going to read that next. And he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So that should be case closed right there. So the Messiah clearly said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy the law." Then he said, "Or the prophets." But the funny thing you'll find in most Christian circles is they'll tell you that the Messiah did come to get rid of the law. But then they're also the same people that have prophecy conventions and all of this stuff. And they're looking for different prophecies to happen. But in this 17th verse, in the same light he put the law, he put the prophets. I mean, if the law is done away with, then the prophecies are also done away with. Don't look for any prophecies to come to pass, because he clearly said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." So why is Christianity as a whole saying he did do away with the law, but he didn't do away with the prophets? When you turn on Christian TV every day, they be talking about prophecies. They be talking about prophecies about Israel going back home. And first of all, they don't know who Israel is in the first place. Israel are not those Europeans that are living in the land of Israel right now today. They are Gentiles. All right. The true Israelites are still scattered to the four corners of the earth. A black people with woolly hair that fits all of the curses in Deuteronomy 28 that the Almighty said that we would go through. That's who Israel is. But yet and still, the point is, they still look for prophecies to be fulfilled. But you can't look for prophecies to be fulfilled if you think the law is done away with. The only way you can look for prophecies to be fulfilled if you think the law still stands. Because let me read this again. The same light he put the law in, he put the prophets in. "Think not that I come to destroy the law." So don't even think that he came to destroy the law or the prophets, right? He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. So we believe that. We believe, as true Israel, the Messiah didn't come to get rid of the law or the prophets or the prophecies. We know we're going to go back home one day. We know the Messiah is going to come back a second time and set up the kingdom. We know that all these different things are going to happen that was prophesied. We know that we're in the last days. We know that this fourth empire, which is the revived Roman Empire, with these 10 different European nations are going to be ruling, which they are at this time. We understand that after this kingdom, the kingdom of the Most High is going to come and it's going to last forever, right? We understand the prophecy that when the Messiah comes, he's going to set up a kingdom that's going to last 1,000 years first. We understand all of these prophecies and we're looking for these prophecies to happen. But at the same time, we know that the same light that the prophets are in is the same light the law is in, and we know the law is not done away with either. So therefore, we understand that if we want to be the inheritance of this kingdom that will be set up by Yahweh Shah the Messiah, then we have to continuously walk in the law, which is to love the Most High, to love our brother first and foremost. After that, all the rest will trickle down. If you love the Most High, you'll keep it Sabbath day. Why? Because this is the time that we get intimate and spend time with the Most High, you know, and put away our other cares and concerns and come together as a body of people and come together and make the Sabbath a joy and a delight, as it says in Isaiah 58, I believe. The Sabbath is supposed to be a joy and a delight. It's supposed to be a peaceful day unto us. It's supposed to be a restful day. It's supposed to be a feast. It's supposed to be a day of praise and song to honor the Most High Yahweh. And that's what we want to make it. All right? From week to week, that's how it's supposed to be. All right? Bring no burdens in on the Sabbath day. So that's, of course, Matthew 5 and 17. So if we're truly following the words of the Messiah, he told us, do not even think that he came to do away with the law. And the problem with that is the minute that you walk into any Christian church, that's one of the first things that everybody think that they know, that he did do away with the law. So if they're saying the opposite of what he said, that's a grave, grave error right there. You know? Let's go to, I want to go to Galatians chapter 2. Let me go there. And I think I want verse number 17. It says, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Elohim forbid, or God forbid. So again, that's right along the lines of what I was saying a minute ago. You know, said if we seek to be justified by Christ, yet we are found to be sinners, is Christ therefore the minister of sin? So through their teachings, they have made the Messiah the minister of sin, right? Because what they'll do is they won't keep Passover, but they're going to teach all the people about Easter and Lent and Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. All of these things are nowhere in these scriptures. Good Friday is not in these scriptures because he didn't die on Friday and rise Sunday morning. That's a total lie that our people have been told, right? Because the Messiah clearly said to the people, they said, show us a sign that you are the true Messiah. And what did he say? He said, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, a great fish, for 3 days and three nights, so shall I be dead or in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Right? Three daylight periods and three nighttime periods. Then he's going to rise. So if they're teaching you that he died Friday night and he rose Sunday morning, that's two nights and one day period. That couldn't be right. So that means by his own words, if you believe that, then he wasn't the Messiah. And, of course, what we understand is that the false doctrine that they made up about somebody dying Friday night and rise Sunday morning, that's why they don't have the true Messiah. That's why they read the same Matthew 5 and 17, and they come away and say, he got rid of the law. He did away with the law. And they'll say that when they read the exact same verse, right? Because many of these people who has picked up the Almighty's word, they picked it up for profit. They picked it up because it was a business. in a business, they did it for business, just like starting any other business. But they wasn't called by the Most High. If you were called by the Almighty, then you're going to teach the things according to what the Almighty said to do, not according to tradition. The tradition, just because you grew up in America or whatever particular country, and they taught you a bunch of different traditions that you believe is correct. So so that's Galatians 2 and 17, which is another great verse to add on top of this. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We'll go to the book of 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Actually, I'll just start at verse number 2. 1 John 2 and 2. No, I started verse 3. First John, get right to the point. Chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So this is something to think about first and foremost. When these scriptures was written that we're reading about here in the New Testament, there were no New Testament books at this time. When John said, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments, there were no New Testament books written yet. They only had what we know of called the Old Testament books, all right? So when he said, if we know him if we keep his commandments, what commandments is he talking about? The commandments in the Old Testament. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's Saturday, not Sunday. Keep the Passover forever, right? That's coming up. He said nothing about Easter. Keep the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, right? The Day of Atonement. The Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the New Moons and the Sabbatical Year, right? And the New Year at the time the Almighty said to keep it, right? You can't not December the 31st when the Almighty spoke nothing of that time being a New Year, all right? Keep my dietary law. These are the clean animals to eat. These are the unclean animals to eat, all right? Wear fringes. Make sure your clothes are not mixed garments. Don't mingle seeds of different types of fruits when you planting, right? When you have a garden, don't mingle the seeds. All of these things are important to the Almighty, and they should be important to us, all right? All of these things. So so again, in verse number 4, I'm going to pick up in 1 John chapter 2, pick up in verse 4. It says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. We know that men lie all the time, and the scriptures right here is telling us who's lying and who's not. So every pastor in the world, when they say they know the Most High and they do not keep the Most High's commandments, they're a liar and the truth is not in him. That means leave that church yesterday. Don't go back. When you understand this scripture and you understand the only commandments he could have been talking about is the same commandments that's all through the book, is the exact same commandments that he gave to Moses, and your church don't keep none of them, and there's a well-known fact that when John said this, they didn't have no New Testament scriptures. They only had the Old Testament scriptures, those same commandments, and your church don't keep none of them. That means you're not supposed to be there if you want eternal life. Now, if you don't want eternal life and you just want to go there for the music and maybe you like the people there and you're not truly seeking truth and seeking the Most High, then I guess that's the place that you want to be. But if you're seeking the truth and you're seeking eternal life and during the day of judgment, you want the Almighty to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come and inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world, then you have to go somewhere with a group of people that are keeping the Most High's commandments, all right? Not man's traditions, not anything that we made up or anyone else made up, the Almighty's commandments. Because ultimately, on that great day of judgment, that's what we will be judged by. We will be judged by what the Most High said to do, not what the Catholic Church said to do. The Catholic Church, the one gave you Sunday. The Almighty gave us the Sabbath and said, keep it forever. Even when we read about when he's going to make the new heaven and the new earth, the Almighty still said, when the new heaven and the new earth will be set up, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be keeping the Sabbath from one Sabbath to another and from one new moon to another. So if the Sabbath was done away with, why is it still talked about far into the future? That when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, where all flesh still is going to come and worship before him and keep the Sabbath day. Because those that have understanding understand that the Sabbath was never done away with. All right? It's just done away with in man's minds because our people are following tradition and not truth. The Messiah told us very clearly in Matthew 15, do not reject the commandments of Elohim that you may keep your tradition. That's what we don't want to do. That's a dangerous thing when you do that. Very dangerous. You don't want to do that. Do not reject the commandment of the Most High that you may keep your tradition. So for the last 10 minutes, if anybody have a question or comment, push number one. I'll get you on. If not, I'll just keep rolling like this for the last 10 minutes, and we may go out with the song. But, yeah, just push number one if you want to get on. And, again, for anybody that may have just joined us, we're just talking about the Passover, which is coming up, which is a great feast. It's actually my favorite holy day. I love the Passover. And we're just kind of connecting the dots from the Passover lamb in the Old Testament to the Passover lamb, meaning Yahweh Shah the Messiah in the New Testament, and how the Messiah fit the bill of everything. I didn't even read some stuff, but, you know, we could go back and forth. The lamb was killed on the 14th day of the first month. The Messiah was killed on the 14th day of the first month. Another thing, which the part I didn't read, it said that the Almighty said, do not break a bone in his body in dealing with this lamb, this animal, right? So, again, when the Messiah died for our sins and he was hanging on the tree, what happened? The Roman soldiers came, and it was two other men that were dying as well. And he broke the legs of the first guy. He broke the legs of the other guy. He broke the bones of the other guy. And then it came to the Messiah. He was going to break his bone, but then he just stabbed him in the side. And it said out of his belly came out blood and water. Well, he was going to break his bone, but what did the scripture say? It said, but the scripture was fulfilled, not a bone in his body shall be broken. Well, what does it mean? What does it say that in the scripture? Because they understood that he was that Passover lamb in the Old Testament. They understood that this is what the Almighty was trying to show us, you know, those that have spiritual eyes. That is why after the Messiah died and he rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights, the scripture says that he went to his disciples and he told them and taught them all the things concerning him throughout the scriptures. So you don't think he didn't tell them that? If they didn't already know it, about how the Passover lamb, you had to do all these different things in the Old Testament to the Passover lamb because it was pointing to him, right? And John knew, right, because he said John was one of the greatest among men. And when John first seen him, when he was going to baptize him, he said, behold, the Lamb of Elohim that taketh away the sins of the world. Right? John already knew. John knew who he was, and he knew what his position was and what he came to do. John knew that he didn't come to set up the kingdom right now. But some of the people during that day, and even some of his disciples thought that, oh, the Messiah's here. He coming to set up the kingdom right now. Like, no, he have to die first. He have to be a lamb first, a suffering servant first. He came to die for the sins of the people first. All right? And, he came to die for the sins of the people first. And speaking of that, speaking of dying for the sins of the people, I'll probably give some more information later. I will be on a radio show called Debate Talk for You soon. I think it's the 27th, Tuesday, March the 27th at 8 p.m., and I'll be having a debate on just that topic. The topic will be, can someone die for the sins of another? Because many of our people who know that they're Israelites, they have been teaching people against the Messiah, and they've been saying that, look, you can't believe in this Messiah because nobody could die for the sins of nobody else. And so we're going to discuss these things, bring out some scriptures and talk about these things, and hopefully it will edify the people and bring light to the people, because what I never want to see is people who believe in the Messiah and then stop believing the Messiah. And there's quite a few brothers and sisters who go that route. And it's because of teachings like this, that's why we're having a debate about it. It's because of teachings like this is why they've done it, you know, and people have not been able to answer the question for them thoroughly maybe and things like that. And when you're not able to answer, you know, it causes a person to maybe, you know, go another way, go another belief. So that's what we're going to do. And should be hopefully very informational, very edifying. And I guess you guys like the information maybe on a latter show as far as the call-in number. I don't know it offhand, but maybe if some are familiar with the show called Debate Talk for You, you'll have it. But it should be easy to find on the internet if you look it up. But let me go to the first caller I have, area code 513. Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Shalom. How's it going, Ak?
Shalom, shalom, Ak. How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I just want to thank you for bringing all that out tonight. I thought that was real simplistic how you brought that out. You know, you always go to the word and bouncing back and forth, getting precept upon precept, and That was real interesting how you brought that out, how the Messiah, he is our Passover.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Well, thanks, bro. I definitely appreciate it, man. You know, definitely appreciate, you know, our brotherhood that we have together and how we get together from week to week doing what we do. You've been a great asset to everything we do there. Definitely appreciate you and all your family. So it's been basically nothing but love ever since I met you guys. So most definitely, man. So it's a blessing.
All right. Yes, same here, bro. Same here.
Yep. All right, bro. Well, shalom, right. Shalom, man. Thanks again.
Yep, shalom.
All right. So, but yeah, just dealing with that Messiah and dealing with that Passover is definitely a great, great thing when you can go back and forth and understand what's really going on in these scriptures, because all of the holy days have a physical understanding and they have a spiritual understanding as well. They have a foreshadowing as well. And because I've often thought about this in dealing with, you know, what was presented today, I've often thought about for people that only accept the Old Testament, I often thought about, do they wonder why the Almighty required so many things and why the Most High was so specific about so many things that you would think probably wouldn't even matter to the Most High? Like, for instance, this is what I've always thought about. If you didn't understand who the Messiah was and you didn't have the New Testament scripture to show you, oh, this is why he said don't break a bone in his body, this is what the foreshadowing of these things, and the Most High told you all of these rigid things to do, wouldn't you at least wonder why? Because throughout the Old Testament, he never gave you an answer for these things. Why? When he said, go get a lamb and kill it on the 14th day of the first month. Okay. Why? Okay, that's the Passover. All right, but then he says, make sure that lamb is perfect, without blemish. If one leg is too long than the other, you can't use that lamb. If something wrong with the lamb's eye, ear, nose, anything, the priest had to inspect this lamb and make sure this lamb, you know, it can't have one extra little toe. Anything can't be wrong with it. It can't be too big. It can't be too short, too fat, too anything, right? Nothing could be wrong with the lamb. It had to be an unblemished lamb. And then he said, now, you're going to kill the lamb. You're going to roast it with fire, and you're going to eat it. But then he said, make sure you don't break a bone in his body. Well, why? Why would that be important to the Most High? Because the Most High is trying to teach us something, right? So if you only go by the Old Testament, wouldn't you wonder why? Look, it's just an animal. We ate animals every day. We ate clean animals, like, all the time. The way our people even do right now today. We don't go and inspect these things like, hey, was that lamb too short before you eat it? Was it too tall? Would you wonder why the Almighty required all of these things? I would want to wonder why. Because, of course, the scripture says this, the Almighty will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And the brothers in the Old Testament can't give you that secret. Only thing they could tell you is the Most High said don't break a bone in his body. And when you say why, they have no idea. They have no idea, but we understand why. But with that being said, that's the time, and I just want to thank everybody for listening in again. Definitely want to give all praise and honor to the Most High. And just want to say, join us again next Monday, same time, same number. Shalom, shalom.